Romans chapter 12, verse 18 will be our key verse for today. It says simply there, if it is possible, and this is the New International Version now, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I wanted to address this topic today in light of what's been going on in the world. What's been going on specifically in the United States. There's not a sense of peace right now in much of our country. I've watched interviews take place, people calling each other horrible names, yelling and screaming at each other, not listening to each other. Everybody's just at each other, it seems like, in our country right now, especially on the political scene. But this also is a verse that we need because in our communities, there are neighbors who are not getting along. They're not at peace with each other. There are homes that are being disruptive all the time. Been doing that for quite a while since the dawn of Satan's work in the world. But there's marriages and family relationships. There's no peace. It's just people are existing. They're not enjoying life. They're not sharing the love of Christ like they should, and it's just coming at us hard and fast. The more we are exposed to it, it just keeps coming. I know I need this verse today because I'm one of these ones. I like to win, and sometimes I do that at the expense of someone. I stopped arguing sports with a couple people a few years back. Matter of fact, about 25 years back, I found out that they had touchy-touchy feelings. They could come at you, but if you came back at them, it just didn't work. And I finally realized, I said, this friendship is worth more than me kind of getting a barb in. It's worth more. So I kind of backed off with them. I still have fun with some people, but you got to make sure you got to make sure it's a give and take and not a... And not you're winning the argument at the expense of losing a friendship. Neighbors, I see neighbors, and I've had neighbors. Up in Delaware, we had one. They didn't seem to know where their property line was, and I was one of these ones, very selfish back then. I went so far, a friend of mine was bulkheading. I went so far to get some leftover wood from him, and I put about an 8-inch high piece of, or maybe 10 inches of bulkheading, down the whole length of the property between me and him. Not the whole property because I covered over to another section, but I made sure he knew where my property line was. We never did communicate. We never did talk. We never did mend any fences. So there was really no peace there when it came to relationship with a neighbor. I've had a few moments in my marriage where it was not very peaceful in our house. I've had a few times where I gave the silent treatment pretty hard. There have been a few times when I was too blunt. If you take a rose and you squeeze it and you let go, what usually happens to some of the rose petals? Right. So, you know, I look back and say, you know, how did what you were doing bring sort of peace to this fragile rose in your house, this person that you care so much about? How did it bring peace? How can I bring peace to any situation? The Bible tells me right here, right there, I got to learn how to live at peace with everybody. If it depends on me, I got to do my part. Well, okay, maybe, where did this verse come from? Why is it in this section of Scripture? What is Paul trying to get across? Now, those of you kind of familiar, you see this section here. He throws a lot at them real quick here. He starts out in verse 9, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal. And he continues right on with a bunch of litany, several things here. And then he finally gets to verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Then our key verse, and then verse 19, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. And he's writing to the church at Rome. Rome is located in Italy. Rome is the center of the Roman Empire. It's the seat of power for that entire section of the world. The Roman emperor is not a bit interested in the things of the Lord. He's not interested in the church. Matter of fact, he really doesn't know a whole lot about it just yet. So he's instituting his policies of oppression, of making sure the slaves know they're slaves. He also is making sure that taxes are collected. He doesn't care whether you got it or not. You're going to pay it. He's got the Colosseum going on, the gladiators and all that stuff. People are being killed all over the place. It's an evil place to live in many ways. And for those who are oppressed, it's a horrible place to live. So what does Paul write? To a church who's living in the middle of that, where their whole world is being turned upside down, and even to a church that's starting to be oppressed itself, people are being arrested. Christians are going to be fed to the lions real soon, if not already. He writes to that church, live at peace. Live at peace. As far as it depends on you, live at peace. So I look at that verse, and I look at a number of verses. You can Google the word love in the Bible. You can Google the word peace in the Bible. And especially the word peace in light of what we're talking about today. And you can look at Bible passage after Bible passage where God wants us to have peace. In the Matthew passage, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. All right? We are supposed to be exhibiting peace. And if you read a number of other passages over and over again, he talks about wanting us to have peace. What exactly is this peace that he wants us to have? I mean, it's as far as it depends on us, what is exactly this peace that we're supposed to have? Is it a sense of confrontation every time we're around somebody? How do you get an argument started among people? Yeah, we're going to find what they disagree about and what they passionately disagree about. And you just bring that topic up. And I've been guilty sometimes getting one going against the other. Go over one, just for the fun of it, you go over and say, guess what so-and-so said? And then you go over the other one, hey, guess what so-and-so said? And then you step back and watch. Now, I'm not talking about evil type stuff. Maybe it was just a joke about some ball team or something like that. But sometimes they can get pretty passionate about it. I teach at the Camden Senior Center twice a month. And while I'm there, I got people from all parts of the community there. They have different backgrounds politically. They have different backgrounds spiritually. They have different backgrounds in the community otherwise, poor, rich, you name it. I try to avoid all those controversial topics because I don't have time to put the fire out. I'm not going to start a fire and then walk out the place and then somebody else has to deal with it. But I've seen them they've had discussions. They've had knockdown, drag-out type discussions in the senior center. At this advanced age, they still are passionate about certain topics. And I get wind of it and word of it because people will talk to you, but I try not to get into the discussion. Because the only way this group's going to enjoy being together is if they'll quit some of the arguing and fussing and fighting that's destroying the group. Now, I'm not saying we don't take a stand. I'm not saying that. But we got to find that line where we're bringing peace. We got to be real careful in almost every situation to bring peace. We got to be, as the Bible says, quick to listen and slow to what? Speak. Yeah, be slow to anger, but be slow to speak in that particular verse. I watched one of these discussions that was being held, and they were putting it around on Facebook, where this person was yelling at this person, and this person was yelling at this person, and neither one of them was listening to what each other said. I think what they had decided was who could ever shout the loudest must have the better argument. Right? When you got emotions in it, it's hard. So it's nice to be able to share facts and everything, but let's try to work toward having peace in this world. Jesus, He is the one the Father wants us to look to and to follow after. Now, this verse here in Romans says again, if it's possible, you are to live at peace. Now remember, it has to be possible. If you bring up a subject, case in point, when I was visiting Pat the other day in the adult care facility, I don't like to call it a nursing home because she still can be taking care of herself to some degree, but adult care facility, a lady in the room, because of what was on the TV, and because she knew I was a preacher, she wanted to know my view on a subject. And I said, well, I don't think this is the best time to discuss it right now, ma'am. Why not? Well, I'm here to visit Pat. Well, and then she started in. I mean, she was determined to tell me her viewpoint and why I had to believe her viewpoint, regardless of whatever my viewpoint was. So I patiently listened and just quietly said, well, let's discuss this another time. Of course, that still didn't satisfy her, but it satisfied me. I tried to be as peaceful as I could at that moment. Now, that's not my nature a long time ago. That's not my nature. I mean, I can yell with the best of them. I can holler and scream and say things and hurt people just as well as anybody else can. A few years back, many years back now, I let someone down in the church. At least that's what that's how they felt. And probably to some degree, I guess I did. But I let them down. And it festered inside of them. It just ate at them. And an opportunity came up where I needed to go visit them over something. And when I got to the front door of the place, I got unloaded on big time. And for 15 or 20 minutes, it got explained to me how terrible a minister I was, how horrible my ministry was, how much I was hurting the church and destroying everything. Even started on my family. I just sat there and listened and listened and listened. Also, someone told me a long time ago, it's hard to reason somebody out of a position if they didn't reason themselves into the position to start with. You know, if they've already decided something, there's nothing you can do. Now, I'm not saying I'm right on every issue. You know, most of the time I am. No, I'm not saying I'm right on every issue, but the Bible wants us to live at peace. And if you don't have to call somebody an idiot because they called you an idiot, if you don't have to tear down their family just because they tore down your family, if you don't have to do these things, if it's not going to solve the issue, if it's not going to help bring the problem to a solution, then just don't get caught up into it. You notice what verse 19 said, right? Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. Verse 17, do not repay evil anyone evil for evil. You know, Jesus said one place, if somebody slaps you on the cheek, what are you supposed to do? Now, has anybody put that into practice here? Physically? I know spiritually you have. Somebody slapped you upside the head spiritually, so to speak, and a lot of you have turned the other cheek. All right? Yeah. All right. So, but physically, nobody's punched me yet, and I said, well, go ahead and try another one. You know, I look stupid, but I'm not dumb. I'm not going to stand there and do that. So I know it's a challenge. And every time I want to respond with anger and hatred and evil and hurt, every time I want to do that, not only does this verse come back to mind about do not, you know, live at peace with everyone, but the bigger verse that comes back to my mind, or the bigger teaching that comes back to mind, hanging on the cross, and they're yelling and screaming and lying about him. And what does he do? What does he say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. And a lot of times people who are emotional and get upset over things and not interested in living at peace with anybody, that's exactly what they're doing. But the Bible tells us here, if it's possible, if there's something that you can do, God wants you to go that extra mile. You might remember Jesus told him one place, if a soldier comes over to you and demands to stay in your house, well, let him stay. If they come over to you and take your tunic, give them your other garment, or your outer garment, give them your tunic as well. If they ask you to carry their stuff for a mile, you carry it too. I mean, that's going certainly the extra mile. Jesus wants us to follow his example, and if it's possible, we're supposed to do it. Now, God expects us to do this. So you got to picture who is God? Who is God in your life? Is God one you compromise and rationalize with? Is God one that you say, look, I know what you said, and then you do that famous three-letter word, but this is you don't understand what I'm going through, God. You don't understand what I'm dealing with. You don't understand this. He's God. If he's God, and I believe him to be, of course, then he is the supreme being. He's the one that we're going to answer to. My little bit of life on this earth is becoming more and more clear to me that it's only a mist. It's only a vapor. It's only a short time. The older I get, the more I realize how little time I have in the grand scheme of all time. It's just a moment. And then when I think, Ron, you're right now roughly one of 7 billion people on the planet. And 6 million of them, 999,000, and probably more than that, don't really care about your life. You don't really exist to them. So when you go thinking you're really super important to them, realize just how small you are. But one who knows all 7 billion people, and the one who knows all of the people for all time, is the one I need to answer to, the one I need to respect. And He's God. So my Master, my Lord, my God is saying to me, I want you, as far as it's possibly, much as you ably can, I want you to live at peace with people. Jesus showed you how to do it. Now I want you to emulate Him. I want you to follow in His steps. I want you to display to the world peace. Do that. Now, I just said, if it's possible, and I just said, we got to know who God is. The most important part of the equation for me now shows up is this. Do I want to do it? Do I really want to do it? Because you'll be able to tell by my deeds, right? Whatever I really want to do, you'll be able to tell. If I really want to love my wife, you should be able to somehow see some of the things I'm doing, hear some of the words I'm saying, and see whether I genuinely love her or not. Not something happens to her and I'll miss her affection or miss her being in my life. Do I really, really love her? Because I'll go the extra mile to do anything I can for her if I will. I mean, life has changed for me a lot over the years. I mean, my mom struggled with health issues, and we were made every Saturday to clean. We were made every Saturday to put clothes out on the line. We were made every Saturday. And even during the week, if clothes got hung out, we had to go get them, take them out there and bring them back in. We had to vacuum the floors. We had to clean the toilets, clean the bathtubs. We had to do all that stuff as kids. Mom could not do that because of her heart condition. It was expected. Now, Mom did a lot, don't get me wrong, but she had to have help. And we pitched in and helped her. And I often remember saying, oh, man, I can't wait till I get out on my own and won't have to do any of this junk. All right. Well, obviously I got married. And she's working a full-time job. I'm working a full-time job. Next thing you know, we got 3 kids. She's wore out, I'm wore out. So you start realizing, if you really love this person, you need to pitch in. You need to help somebody. So, I mean, when I go home today, for example, I'll go into the utility room. If there's a load in the washer, I'll switch it over to the dryer. I'm not going to wait for her to get home to do it. If there's a load in the dryer and it needs to be folded up, I'll fold it up. I hated doing dishes growing up. I used to turn it into a game, somehow pretending I'm conquering some sort of world by these pieces or whatever it was. I said I'll never do dishes again. Well, I come in the other day, looked in the sink, there was a whole bunch of dishes. She's working long hours, she's got payroll to do, she's got this to do, she's got that to do. So what did I do? Yeah, I left. You know, I turned the hot water on, I got out the soap and I filled it up. I always use more water than she does, and I always rinse more than she does. But anyway, I did it, and I put them in there in the strainer, and went and did some other things, came back later, got a towel out, finished wiping them off, and put them away. The ones that I know how to put away. I will not put away the Tupperware dishes. They don't match. They don't fit in the drawer. I mean, I have taken the foot and pushed them in. It just don't go. I will not put away the Tupperware dishes. I'll set them up on the counter. I'll try to match lids up with them. But it's her job. She's the only one that can figure out the configuration necessary to get all of those in that drawer and close it. Okay, so. But if you love somebody, you will do what you can to help them. Well, we've been called to live at peace, and we love God. And God says, I need you to live at peace with your neighbor. I need you to live at peace in your home. I need you to live at peace in your community. And I need you to live at peace in your church. And I need you to live at peace in the world, in your country. I need you to live at peace. You need to set a higher standard. You will not be here long. And everything you thought was important when you're laying there in the nursing home, worried about whether you're watching Price is Right or whether you're watching something else. When you're in that nursing home, nobody's going to really, really remember a whole lot about what you did and what you fought for. So understand what's important. You've got to decide. I am going to live at peace in this world. I'm going to do it because my God asked me to. Now, I'm only responsible as far as it depends on me. If my presence offends you, if my presence offends you for some reason, and I know that no matter what I do, when I come into your presence, I know you're going to be upset and mad, you're going to say things, then as far as living at peace with each other, then what have I got to do? I just got to not go into your presence as best I can. On Facebook, I love the interaction on Facebook. I love seeing what you post. I love it. I never thought I would be this way, but I enjoy seeing the things that make you happy. But I refuse to post a lot of things or respond to a lot of things if it's going to cause everybody misery. And if I state an opinion, which I do once in a while, if I state an opinion and it upsets some people, I usually will send them a private message. I say, I didn't mean to upset you with my post. This was my feelings and my views on it. If you want to discuss it sometime, we will. There was a lady that was part of our congregation a number of years. She grew up, finished the last few years here as a teenager, and then she went off to college. And at college, she got reinforced a lot with liberal views, strong liberal views. Obviously, they're opposed to some of my views. So, anyway, she began to post some things on Facebook a few years after she got married. And I just responded one time that I disagreed with her on this. Well, you know that picture of the pirate on the beach? You know, you see it going around Facebook where he says, all I quoted was Scripture, and there's 5,000 people chasing him. You know, well, that's how I felt, because all of her friends began to get on Facebook and attack me. I just processed it. I handled it the same way that I was taught to handle things in officer candidate school. I'm standing there at officer candidate school. I'm 19 years old. There are 22 senior candidates. There's a bunch of us, but not as many. There's two TAC officers, and all these people seem to know how to do is scream. And they get right in your face, they get right there, and they, well, some of them have to stoop down for me, but they scream right in my face. And I got one in one ear, I got one in one ear, I got one here screaming here, and I got five waiting to get up here. So I just started, right after the first day, I realized, you just got to process this. You cannot let them overwhelm you. So I only focused on the one. That irritated the others, but I only focused on the one, dealt with that. Then we would deal with the next one, next one. Well, sometimes we just have to process things. And that's what I did with this Facebook. I just began to give my side of it. I did not use the language they were using. I did not use the hate words they were using, whatever. By and by, this lady came on the Facebook page and said, would you please leave my preacher alone? He is my preacher. We may disagree, but he is an honest... I forgot just how she worded. I don't want to paraphrase it too much. But basically, she let him know that I was a decent person. Okay? She let him know. So, you can do this, but you just can't let them rip you apart and tear you up and destroy things. We've been called to live in peace. We need to make sure that we're living in peace. James 3:18, if you'll turn there, please. It says here in James 3:18, let me get it, I'm in Hebrews. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. You make up your mind that you're going to take your seed bag, and you can picture the old-time farmers walking along the rows, and they got their bag, shoulder strap over here. I guess I would probably have it on this side since I'm right-handed. They just reach in, drop a little seed. They reach in, drop a little seed. And they just walk the rows, the old-timey way of doing it. So that's how they sowed. And that's how they could probably picture them being sown. And he's using that analogy that we're supposed to sow seeds of peace. That means if you're a spouse and your wife says something nasty to you, don't respond that way. Sow a seed of peace. You got a back-talking teenager, try to figure out a way to sow a seed of peace. You got a parent that's driving you crazy and you're a Christian child, try to figure out how to sow a seed of peace. You got a neighbor that's just irritating you to no end, sow a seed of peace. you got on Facebook and people are just attacking you all over the place, or they're presenting views that you just hate, sow a seed of peace. Because the Bible says here, if you sow seeds of peace, you will raise what? What does it say? A harvest of righteousness. And if you ever read Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith, that's what you want. You want to be on that righteousness page. So we'll make sure we do this. In this world right now that's being so disrupted, so attackful, so hateful, we have been called to live a life of peace as far as it depends on us. Do you have to work at it? I'll be honest with you, there's some days I get really upset with some things. And I really want to clench fists and say some horrible things. I even said the other day, if I ever retire being a preacher, I'm going to be honest on Facebook. Now that's sad, isn't it? I'm just going to not care. But I can see how bad this can be. I have a nephew who has decided that he hates the world because of his illness that he has. And he posts some of the most nastiest, vilest comments that you ever could read. Never thought he would be one to do that. But the pain of his illness is such that he has decided that God does not really either exist or hates him. And so he posts horrible things. I try my best when I can to put something nice on his page. I try my best. But I know that if I ever decided that peace was not the way, I could easily go down that same road. I could easily head that same direction. I could easily say some of those things. Because if you don't care who you're answered to, you no longer care. Then why do you have to hold back? But one day I will stand before the throne of my Lord and I will give an account for what I've done. And now it won't be good enough to get me in heaven, but Jesus will take care of that. He says, my blood's got him covered. Let him in. That'll take care of it. But I'm supposed to, in the meantime, honor my master by being a peacemaker, sowing seeds of peace as far as it depends on me. Let's do that as a church. Let's do that as families. Let's do that as homes. Let's do that as citizens in this world. Let's be ambassadors of peace. Jesus is calling you. You need to respond to Him. You need to believe Jesus is the Christ. You need to believe that with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every ounce of your being needs to believe that He is the Christ. Because if you believe that, nothing can hold you back from serving. But you need to believe that. Repent of your sins. Confess Him as Lord of your life. We believe the New Testament teaches immersion. Because on the day of Pentecost, when the people asked what they should do, Peter said, repent and be baptized. So if you want today, come. We will baptize you into Christ. What happens at baptism? You'll be clothed with Christ. Your sins will be washed away. Your name will be written in Lamb's Book of Life. You'll be part of the church of God for all time. For those of you that are already immersed believers, but sin comes some way back into your life, you turned your life over to Satan again for some reason, you're following the ways of the world, whatever terms you want to use. I know you're not happy in that state. You can't be. It's got to be an inner turmoil. Repent. Whatever sin it is you're committing, and ask God for forgiveness. As an immersed believer, you have access to the throne of grace and mercy. He'll grant it. If you need our prayer support, come. We'll pray with you about the matter. Some of you are immersed believers, but you haven't placed your fellowship with us yet. Consider doing that. Come, place your fellowship. And for the rest of us, we need to kick ourselves in gear. There's places we need to serve. There's things that need to be done. We need to push hard in our prayer life. We need to push hard in our Bible study life. We need to get ourselves on fire in our personal walk with Him and in our church walk with Him.